I have always found that if I don't learn something, it's hard for you to learn something from me. And but then, as we learn something, then we'll find out after that we have learned it together tonight, why we should be blessed by it. So we'll just call a 10-minute recess, shout it out, and go home in a minute. How's that sound? Because it's all because He came. I've been dealing with a series, In Search of the King. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. And of course, the first message dealt with Matthew because Matthew is the gospel of the King. We know that Mark is the gospel of the servant. Luke is the gospel of the Son of Man. And John is the gospel of the Son of God. So Matthew was a Jew writing to Jews. So we see the King in his gospel. All of the references in Matthew deal with the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and uses kingdom phrases and Jewish phrases. That we went not only from the gospel, but also to the genealogy. And I dealt briefly on the genealogy, and I'm not going to preach that again. But then on Sunday morning, from chapter 2, I started dealing with the subject of the wise men. And how that they had seen his star in the east. And that's where we're picking up tonight. And beginning with chapter 2, let's read beginning with verse 1. Now when Jesus was born. Underline that phrase. When Jesus was born. In Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. If you'll recall on Sunday morning, I left you with the fact that they started with the star shining. Then the star stopped shining. And we focus on the fact, what do you do when the stars don't shine? But we know that through this event, that also they became aware that it was recorded in the Word. When you don't have a star, you've got the book. And when they find that out, they leave according to the book. And what did they tell them? Where did they say that he was to be born? By the scribes and Pharisees? Bethlehem. So when they left, where do you think they went to? Help me out now. Where do you think they went to? Bethlehem. They start toward Bethlehem. But still, Bethlehem, the city of David this time of year, we know there was no room in the inn, so it's exceptionally overpopulated at this time because they've come for the taxation. And when they start, where do they go from there? And that's where we pick it up in verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He wanted to know, when did you see the star the first time? When was that? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what their answer was. And the Bible says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. The Bible says when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11. And when they were come into the what? The house. They saw the what? Young child with Mary, his mother. And fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Thank God when you have some experiences with God, you'll leave another way. So first they had a star. Then there was no star. They always had the book. But then the star comes back and now there's a dream. A lot of things have happened to these men on their journey. The Bible says, and when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring the word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child with his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now pay close attention. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all of the children that were in Bethlehem, in all the coast thereof, for how old? 2 years old. And what's the next two words? And under. According to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside in the parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, let me tell you what I'm confronted with regularly. And I want to answer a question for you once and for all. And I want to make this clear. You are entitled to your interpretation and your biblical opinion. I know you have your right to what you believe. I have my right to what I believe. But I want to make this clear. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life explaining why I believe what I believe. I'm going to tell you from the Bible. I'm going to tell you what I believe. If you don't believe it, we'll agree to disagree. But I'm not going to spend the rest of my life arguing with you. Some people call apologetics arguments, and that's not what apologetics is at all. It's a defense for what you believe. So I'm going to give you a biblical defense for what I believe. From the time I was just a young man, and especially when I got into ministry, every year about this time, you'll start to hear the same thing. Well, you see, the Christmas story as we know it can't be right. The Christmas account has to be wrong. Because everybody knows that by the time the wise men got there, Jesus wouldn't have been a babe. And we have all of our manger scenes of wise men coming to Bethlehem at a time when there was a manger. And therefore Jesus wasn't that. And they give several reasons for the opinion that they believe that Jesus was a toddler. And they base it out of the scriptures that I just read to you. Do I have your attention? Amen. Have you heard that? See, what it is, if they can discredit one thing, they feel like the whole house of theology will come crumbling in. And they'll say, see how off base that Christians are. They can't even read and discern what's happening. It states right in the Bible that Jesus had to be probably 2 years of age. And there's a premise for that. Let me tell you what that premise is, or so I have been told that this is their premise. First of all, they believe like Herod believed. We know Herod must have believed this, because when Herod realized that they didn't come back, he gave the command for the children to be killed at the age of what? Two. And under. So, they based that on the premise that Jesus, when Herod inquired of these wise men, when they saw the star, they believed that Jesus was born when they saw the star at its first appearance. That's what they believe. And they believe that they were probably from the Babylonian area, 1,000 miles away, and it took them 2 years or thereabouts to make the journey. So the first premise is they believed like Herod believed, which, by the way, I don't want to believe anything Herod believed. He was off on everything. I mean, why would you believe a murderer? He was a crazy man. He was a madman. But yet, theologists pick this up to say, well, the star appeared when Jesus was born then. So by the time they make this journey, are you with me? It would have taken them 2 years or 18 months to make the journey. Then they go on to say, and the proof of that lies in the fact that when you get down to Matthew chapter 2, when they come into the house, the Bible says in verse 11 that first they came to a house, not to an inn, as we portray it. Second of all, the Bible says that when they came, they saw the young child. And that's the basis of it. That's their whole premise. And now, every time Christmas comes, some preacher takes something in and regurgitates it that he's read from somebody else that's a contemporary preacher, and dealing with things to make them seem wise. They get out their own premise and say, let me educate you. Jesus wasn't a baby when the wise men came. He was a toddler. And you just are biblically ignorant and have been all of these years. Has anyone ever told you that? They will. They will. Because they don't follow it. They believe that he was a toddler. Let me tell you, I think that's 100% wrong. I think we've got it right. I do. I think Jesus was a baby. Now, I'm already getting a lot of blank stares because you say, wait a minute, that goes against everything I've been taught all of my life, and I don't see where you get the premise. Well, let's start with this. With the star and them starting their journey then. Why would you presuppose that Jesus was born 2 years prior when they saw the star the first time? Why couldn't the star have shone 2 years before Jesus was born? Are you telling me that God only works in the present? I disagree with that. I think He's God and He can do what He wants to do. And I think God can direct you right now for something that can happen 2 years from now. He can start you on a journey today. In fact, I'll do one better than that. I think from the day you're born, God has a plan for your life. And I believe God will form your whole life and bring certain things into your life to direct you in a plan. God goes before us. God doesn't go after us. God doesn't dictate Himself by the affairs of men and the things that's happening in men's life. He calls us the things that happen to lead us and direct us. So really, the truth of the matter is, I can prove to you from what I just read, Herod didn't know when he was born. Well, yeah, I did, preacher. He had him too. Well, why didn't he just have 2-year-olds killed? Two and under. He had all of the babies. If you study history, historically recorded, he had the infants killed as well as the 2-year-old. Do you know what that tells me? He was saying Jesus had to be born somewhere between here, newborn, and age 2. So if he didn't know, suddenly people are going to tell me, well, that has to be the premise of all of it, second of all. But it says right there, preacher, that when they got there, they came to the house and he was a young child. A baby's a young child. A child is a child. Now, I'm going to really blow your mind on this, so stay with me, okay? Let's go over to Luke. Luke chapter 2. And verse 16. This is at the end, after the shepherds have already been warned that he's been born in Bethlehem and told that he's there. And they make haste to come to him in verse 16. Now stay with me. Luke 2:16. Do you have it? And they came with haste, this is the shepherds, and found Mary and Joseph and the what? Babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, seen what? The baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, just as told them. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. This child. What child? The baby. So in two verses, Jesus is called a baby and a child. Back in the text that I referred you to earlier, where that we look at that word, you'll find out that word in the Greek, paideon is the word, and when you look at that word in the Greek, let me show you where it appears. It appears when Jesus was a baby, Luke 2:17. It also appears that same word in Luke 2:21. We find out he was 8 days old when he was circumcised, the child, same Greek word. So he was a child when he was a newborn. He was a child when he was 8 days old. Luke 2:27 and Luke 2:40, if you'll look at both of those verses, you'll find that the same Greek word is used, and that's when her time of purification was completed according to Leviticus and the teachings of Leviticus. That time would have been 40 days after he was born. So he was called a child when he was a baby. He was called a child when he was 8 days old. He was called a child when he was 40 days old. So why suddenly do you say, because the Bible says that it says he was a child, that he had to be a toddler? No. He was a child. A baby's a child. But yet you say, but wait a minute, preacher. In the text, it doesn't say anything about them coming to the manger. The wise men came to a house. Doesn't say anything about an inn. Well, what was an inn in Bible times? Exactly what was an inn when you look at it from the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches? Really, the word inn is the same word that's used in Mark when he talks about the guest chamber. There's other places in the Bible that uses the same word. They didn't have Holiday Inn Express. They didn't have hotels. Normally, what they would do is they would have a guest room, which generally was the second floor with a separate entrance. And there was three national holidays a year that the Jewish people had to return once again back into Jerusalem and into their area. At this particular time, they all had to return back for taxes to the city that they had been registered in. And when they make the return back, because they all come at one time, it's more than the average population. So normally they would have relatives or friends. They were bound by the law to the law of hospitality. When strangers come, they had to provide a place for them. So, when they came to that place, which really, an inn is just a room in a house. It's a guest room. You say, but wait, they came to a house. Well, if it was by the time that he was a toddler, what are you going to do with this? Did he or did he not return with his parents eventually to Nazareth? If 2 years had passed, what are they doing in Bethlehem if he's living in Nazareth? You say, well, preacher, what do you think happened? I'll tell you exactly what I think happened. I think when he came, I think there was no room at the guest chamber. There was nowhere to go. She was ready to give birth. She gave birth to the wonderful child Jesus. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's lying in a manger. The angels appear to the shepherds and they come. And there as they come to worship him, he's still in the manger. But by this time, the word has spread back to the house, back to the guest chamber, which all of this was attached to the house. It's all part of the house. And when they realized what had happened, they thought this is no place for a baby to be. And they brought the child
out into the house. By the time the wise men that same night, they suddenly hear that he's in Bethlehem. They make the journey, which is only 5 miles. It's just a few short miles away. They come, the star leads them to the house, the same place where that he had just been born. Don't tell me that we've had it wrong for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. If you want to believe Jesus was a baby, go ahead and believe it. Now, I'm not going to fall out with you if you think he's a toddler. But I don't think that you can come back and try to confuse everyone by saying, oh no, God had it all wrong. And here's what bothers me most of all. It really does trouble me. We're in search of the King and we miss the whole message. We find the King in his gospel. We find the King in his genealogy. But Sunday morning and tonight, I'm here to tell you we find the King in his guidance. When nobody else knew, God knew where the King was. And I want to tell you, sometimes you feel like that you can't find him. But the truth of the matter is, God will go to great extremity to help you find the Lord. If you are seeking the Lord, I can make you this promise with all assurance. When you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. The Bible's not concerned about you wandering and never being able to find him. God has made a way that you can find the King if you're in search of him. So he may guide you with a star. He may guide you with a book. He may guide you with a dream. But you're overlooking the point. God will do what it takes to get you to Jesus. I can stand here tonight and tell you, everyone in this place that's saved, they all were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They all had a personal experience with Christ. But I'll guarantee you, God never guided any two of us the same way to get to Jesus. Some of you were raised in Christian homes. You were guided by your parents. You were guided by Christians in your community. Some of you never heard a word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dad, when he got saved, didn't know one verse in the Bible. He hadn't been raised in church, knew nothing about it. In fact, he got under conviction while he was playing music in a bar, in a club. Don't look at me pious. The Holy Ghost can go into a bar and not get drunk. He'll go to great extremes. The Holy Ghost has guided people stuck in automobiles with lifeblood flowing out of their body and spoke to them and said, this is your last chance to come to Jesus. Some of you just poured out blessings on you to guide you to Jesus, and those blessings led you to the Lord. Some of you, somebody came, took you by the hand and said, let me tell you about this wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And to use somebody else to guide you to the Lord. I'm saying this. It is what it takes to get you to Jesus. Don't underestimate the power of God. God may have been doing something 2 years ago to bring you where you are tonight. To get right with Jesus.
He's not confined to time or space, or any one particular way. I'm just curious about this. How many of you here tonight, you were not in church, you were somewhere other than church when you got saved? Stand up. Stand up. Somewhere other than church when you got saved. How'd that happen? The Holy Ghost. That's exactly right. Some of you, let me ask you this. How many of you maybe that you weren't at church, you were in a peculiar place when you got saved? I'm not going to ask you to shout it out tonight. There's people standing right here. Maybe some of them got saved in the jail. Some of them got saved in the hospital. Some of them got saved in their bedroom. Some of them got saved in their automobile. The truth of the matter is, God has a way of guiding us to the right place and the right people at the right time, because it's not about the place. It's about the King. They came to see the King. And when you get ready to say, I'm going to find Him, even if the stars stop shining, God will give me a dream. God will give me His word. I'm going to find Jesus no matter what it takes. I'm going to find Him. He seeks us, deals with us, searching, 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 but He just keeps guiding. A lot of you, if someone would have told you 20 years ago on Wednesday night, this Wednesday night of this year, you'd be sitting in a church listening to a preacher holler at you, you'd have said you're crazy. But now look at you. God guided you. Took great measures to lead you. Some of you went through things that should have killed you, but God gently guided you. Some of you wouldn't listen to the blessings. Sickness came and disease came, but God guided you. God led you. I believe God still guides people to Jesus. We get so hung up on the when that we forget the why. Why? Why did this happen? Because they were looking for the King. What did you come to church looking for tonight? In search of the King. He'll guide you. He'll guide you. Some of you face critical decisions in your life. He'll still guide you. Some of you don't know what you're going to do. He'll still guide you. Some of you don't know the results of what's going to happen. He'll still guide you. Gently, He's guiding you. You're not here tonight, friend, by chance or by accident. God brought you here for a purpose and for a reason. And He's guiding you step by step along the journey. He's guiding you. So where do we find Him? In His gospel. In His genealogy. And in His guidance. It's so good to know you're right where God wants you. Nothing like, and I'm going to throw this in before they come and sing a song. There's nothing more miserable than being where God don't want you. To know that God has guided you and you're not where you should be or doing what you should be doing. It's the most miserable feeling in all the world. He'll guide you. I'll ask Him to come and get ready to sing. Years ago, I went to visit one of our folks early morning on a Sunday morning near death. I didn't think that they would live through the day. Candy knows by now when I get a feeling like that, I just, doesn't matter what we're doing at the house, I just drop it and I go. You just have to do it. You have to, don't you, Jamie? You just know the Spirit's saying, you got to go, you got to go now. I'd gone to visit an individual that morning, and it was a holiday, and the family and I had sat down to eat lunch, And I started to cry. And Kenny said, what's the matter? And I said, I've got to go to the hospital. I've got to go back. So I went back and I walked in. And the Lord had miraculously given them a few more hours. And they said, oh, preacher, what are you doing here? Don't you remember you were here earlier? I said, yeah, I remember. And they said, what are you doing here? I said, I wish I could tell you. All I know is that God said, come down. That's what I did. I had prayer. And back then, it was at the Old Mercy Hospital. In the Old Mercy Hospital, the clergy always parked, the preachers parked outside of the emergency room. They had special parking there. So you had to go all the way down in the basement and come back around to go to where your car was. And I remember walking down that long hallway in that basement, winding around, and the devil saying all the way, "You big silly preacher, look what you did. You left your family on a holiday. They don't expect that. They don't expect that." And you know, after a while, I started to maybe think, he's right. What's wrong with me? So I'm arguing with the devil. You ever have an argument with the devil? I'm arguing with the devil back and forth. And by this time, I'm out the emergency room doors. And for those of you that remember the Old Mercy Hospital, they had a big, long planter where they planted all kinds of flowers down the walkway. People used to go out there and sit, and usually they'd sit out there and wait on family to come, things like that. So I started down that walkway, and I got down thinking to myself, well, why did I come down here? Lord, I just wish I knew what I'm doing here. Now I've got one of our folks that thinks their preacher's lost his mind, and I've left my family. They probably think I've lost my mind. And all of a sudden, I feel a tug. I turn around. There's an individual sitting there. And they looked at me and said, "You're the one." And I said, "I'm the one what?" And they said, "I sat down here about an hour ago. And I'm not a Christian. And my daughter's dying upstairs. And she is a Christian." Said, "I sat down an hour ago and said, God, this is Sunday afternoon on a holiday, and there's no preacher in his right mind would come down to a hospital on a holiday on a Sunday afternoon at dinner time. God, if you're real, I'm going to sit here for just an hour. And if you're real, you send a preacher right in front of me." He said, "Would you go up and have prayer with my daughter?" And I went up and had prayer with the daughter. And then a little while, the daughter said, "You know what? They need the Lord, preacher. By the time we finished praying, they were on their knees praying. They got saved. And on my way down, I had a different conversation. It wasn't with the devil, because you couldn't find him anymore. It was with the Lord saying, God, you're guiding when we can't see and we don't know. You still have your hand on it and taking care of all of it. God is in control."